Now, I have been given this study on a study in contrast. In other words, there are two events, two lifestyles, two incidents. They seem to be in contrast one with another. And I was told that this series of studies in contrast is to make these contrasts to balance one another, so that one does not overtake the other, and concentration on and focus on one incident deprives the attention on the other, but to create a focus, a balance between the two. Now, sorry about that. My contention is this. Are these two topics in contrast? Giving our all for God, earning a living. In other words, when a person gives his all to God, is it possible that at the same time he can serve his own self-purpose in earning a living? If he gives his all to God, well, the implication is he becomes a missionary. And therefore, he should not be working as a teacher, or serving as a nurse, or even be in private practice as a doctor. Therefore, in order to balance the two, we should consider the one and the other and put them at a position where they do not conflict with one another. But my contention is, are these two in conflict? Is the above picture, or is the above a picture of contrast? My contention is it is not. And therefore I'm going to approach this topic today, not from the viewpoint of contrast, but from the point of view that one is the outworking of the other. There's no contrast at all. There's no necessity to create a balance. And if you have this point of view, then I think perhaps you have had the wrong attitude towards life and towards what God has done for you. Does a Christian live in watertight compartments? Does a Christian say to himself, this part is my life, I am a teacher, therefore I'm serving the needs of myself and my family perhaps, and of my profession. And if I have some time left, perhaps I will serve in the church. Is this the attitude? Is this the concept that we all have? Is a missionary a full-time worker? And that's why we have the term full-time worker. And we refer to people who serve the Lord in the field as well as elsewhere. Oh, he is a full-time worker. Oh, she is a full-time worker. But if he or she is a full-time worker, then who are we? Part-time workers? Are we part-time workers? Do we serve the Lord part-time? Very often, we refer to these people as full-time. I have been against this term for a long, long time, and I seem to fight a losing battle. There's no such thing as a full-time worker being referred to a missionary. Every one of us here is a full-time worker, and this is what I'm going to prove to you. There's no such thing as serving the Lord part-time. You serve the Lord full-time. Consider, therefore, these very commonly known commissions from the Lord Himself. The Great Commission to the Church, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a commission to the church, and I feel wrongly applied to the individual. Why to the church? Because this commission is to those who are involved to baptize those who come to know the Lord, and to teach them whatsoever things the Lord has commanded them. It cannot be to the individual Christian. It is a commission to the church. The church must do this. The church must go out, evangelize, bring people in, and the church must baptize them and teach them all things whatsoever the Lord had commanded them. This is commission to the church, not to the individual. But there is still a command to the individual. The grand command to the Christian in Acts 1:8. And it says there, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is a commission, this is a command to individuals. That wherever you are, where the Lord has placed you, starting with your home, starting where you are, you start to witness. You start to witness. And it is to witness to all others. And as you spread your circle of influence to other spheres, there you must witness also. There's no such thing as part-time witnessing. It's a full-time witnessing. Let me prove to you as I go on. So, I would like to change the subject, the topic given to me. One, earning a living. Two, surrendering your life to the Lord. I would like to look at it from the point of view of a working witness in the world. Working, the profession. Earning a witness, earning a living. Witness, surrendering your life to the Lord. And both are not to be put in balance. But one is the outworking of the other. I explain. Or perhaps there is a side result of this discussion. That as we go on, you can see that one with God is a multitude. One with God is a majority. What I'm trying to say is this. Very often as you try to be a working witness, you will find that you'll be the only one standing out. Perhaps all around you are against you. And this is one time when you must realize that even if you are one, with God you are a majority. Even if you are one, with God you are a multitude. You must not be afraid. And you must stand up to what the Lord wants you to be. So let's consider this working witness in the world. This is the modified topic that I have made to what has been given me. I'm not trying, as I say, to create a balance between two aspects of Christian life. Working to earn a living and surrendering your life to the Lord. I believe that when you surrender your life to the Lord, you will be working for the Lord at all times under all circumstances. So wherever we are, our responsibility is to let your light so shine before men. That is to put it very simple words. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be your witnesses. Wherever you are, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, wherever you are, wherever the Lord sends you, be a working witness. Full time, not part time. So whoever and wherever you are in your working life, you are to witness for Him. Now, I'm very happy that in one way, my son has grasped his concept. Now, he has grasped his concept together with his professor, and both of them have written a book, and it is known as Take Your Soul to Work. Now, in this book, Take Your Soul to Work, both of them are of this opinion that in the working office, earning a living, you'll be a witness. And it's difficult to be a witness because where you work, there are 9 very deadly sins. These sins, in contrast to the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, these sins are sins that every person in the place of work struggles with. And this book deals with how a Christian need to deal with these deadly sins in the place of work before they compromise with the majority instead of standing up serving the Lord as a witness. Elvin also wrote he wrote this book, and he listed the 9 struggles that a Christian goes through when he works, when he earns a living, when she earns a living. And what are the 9? I am sure all of you are familiar with them. Pride, which he considers as grasping equality with God. Greed, I have no time to develop it, but just to tell you and to make you aware of these things that you must be know in order to be a working witness where you are. Greed, the desire for more. Lust, the erotic workplace. Gluttony, excessive consumption of food. Anger, which is the burning desire to control. Sloth, pathological slothfulness. Envy, the pain of another's advancement. Envy, the pain of another's advancement. As you see another person, another colleague advance and be promoted, and you are not, you feel very, very great pain in your life, in your heart, and you cannot stand it. How to deal with that struggle in the place of work? Restlessness, the desire to run away. You're fed up with everything, just want to be away from everything else. Boredom, slow death in the workplace, doing everything the same thing again and again, day after day. And so, Elvin dealt with all these sins that are present. And I'm naming them to you because these are very present, relevant challenges. Every one of you will face with these problems. How do you manage them? How do you struggle with them? Unless you know how to deal with them, you cannot be a working witness. Because you tend to compromise and be among them, be with them, instead of staying out alone and knowing that God with you is a majority and a multitude. He wrote another book, alone this time, Barefoot Leadership. And in this one, he cited models, people who would be who would stand out as one against the majority to be a witness. Now, this is not a Christian book, Barefoot Leadership, but it uses Christian principles in order to challenge Christians to stand up. Alright? So, this, I'm not trying to promote his book, but what I'm trying to do is just this, to let you realize that these are the challenges you face. Because this is relevant to the topic given me. Earning a living and surrendering your life to the Lord. Are they compatible? Yes, one is the outworking of the other. Yes, as we go on, you will consider a side result of our discussion. That one man, one woman, totally surrendered to God, can do great things for him. And this is what I've got to prove as I go on from a very personal and very practical standpoint. One with God is a majority. Take for example Elijah, was one prophet surrounded by Syrian armies, and his servant was fearful. Remember, his servant woke up early in the morning and he found the Syrian host surrounding him and his master in the mountains, and he was afraid. What am I going to do? And the prophet prayed, "Oh God, open his eyes that he may see that those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And this is what we need to master in our testimony for the Lord as a Christian witness, that those with us are more than those with them. And we need to know how to stand up in times like this. Consider Joseph. He was one slave, unimportant, in Potiphar's house. And yet he became the Pharaoh's prime minister to save Egypt from famine. One common slave, but he was used of the Lord to become the prime minister of Egypt, because he was ready to give himself to the Lord. There was another one, Nehemiah. He was only a cupbearer in the king's palace, and yet he had that vision and that passion to rally the people around to be with him to reconstruct the walls of Jerusalem. One man, but he started, but he was able to rally the people around to build the walls of Jerusalem. A cupbearer. All these are professional people. Professional people. Daniel, he was one young man with a purpose. He purposed from the very beginning that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor drink of the king's wine. He would be faithful to the Lord. He would surrender himself. And he was in the king's palace. He was one. But he was ready to stand up for the Lord. And so with God, one with God is a multitude. All of them had these common features. They had a vocation, a calling from God. A calling from God. They knew God's call. They knew God's will. And they were prepared to do God's will and to perform it. They were prepared to be obedient to God's will. And therefore, when we talk of a working witness, we must start with your readiness to do God's will. If you do not know God's will where you are in your profession, then it is another matter. It is another matter. Because you don't know what God wants you to do. And therefore you continue to live up to your aspirations to achieve what you want to do. But when you know what God wants you to do, you do not bother about what circumstances that come into your life. Because whatever they be, you know that God is with you and you want to accomplish that for Him. There must be a vision, a challenge in front. Something to do that the Lord has placed you in that profession for something, for a purpose, for a special purpose, to achieve something for Him. And you want to do it. And no matter whatever the circumstances, you will seek to do it for Him. A passion. And with that, you will gather together other people with similar passion, with similar vision, and together you will go on to achieve that for which the Lord has chosen you out. There will be a mission, and together you go out. And this is what it's all about. Now I hope to speak to you next year on this, how the Lord has led one person to achieve many things for Him because of a vocation, the realization of the will of God, the vision and the passion and the mission. And if you have this to characterize you in your profession, whoever you may be, as a nurse, as a teacher, as a doctor, as a homemaker, whoever you may be, if you have this and you are sure of it, that God has given to you, then you are going to do mighty things for God. I'm going to tell you of one person who dealt with God in this way. Now, Casey was just one common person, one common teacher. Now, this is the first time, perhaps, in all my years, that I'm telling a testimony, I'm giving you my testimony of how the Lord dealt with me from the very beginning of my Christian life up to what I am today. I think many of you do not know about my background and my salvation and sanctification. Today, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it in the third person. Because some of you may think that if I do it in the first person, I'm trying to promote myself. So I do it in the third person. He, Casey, was one common school teacher. Very common. Why? Well, for one, some people often ask him, which university you studied in? Casey never studied in any university. He was never in one. The only university when he was in school was the University of Malaya. That's one university, and he could not get entry into it. He was never even in Form 6, but many of you today are in Form 6. He was never in Bible school. He was never in Bible seminary. He had no degrees, no letters behind his name, no letters in front of his name. He had nothing to show. He was just in the school of God, learning like Moses, to be nobody at the beginning, and later on, for Lord to use that nobody to be a somebody for Him. That's all. All the glory must be to Him and not to any other. Now, therefore, let's start by comparing what he did as a profession, earning a living, and how that process of earning a living was used by the Lord to serve him at every stage of his life and of his profession. So that Casey, having surrendered his life to the Lord, would now be serving the Lord always and to all times. And so you see the two. Firstly, having surrendered his life to the Lord and allowing the Lord to place him where he should be, then using what he should be and what he learned in where he should be to do it, to use that for the Lord's service, witnessing in life. Let's start with his pupil days. That would be his salvation and sanctification. How did it all start? 1946 to 1949, he was in the primary school. Alright? Now, you will note that he was only 4 years in the primary school, which would take 6 years. Today, it would be standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, standard 4, standard 5, standard 6. Whereas in our time, it was with primary 1, primary 2, and so on. How could he take only 4 years to cover 6 years primary education? That's because he lived after the Second World War. And therefore, after the Second World War, the education, the ministry allowed pupils who were smart to do double promotions. Now, it happened that I was able to accomplish that for which I was challenged with, and I got double promotion twice. Or he got double promotion twice. And so he managed to cover 6 years of education in 4 years. Now, at this time, he attended Burber Hall Sunday School. For this, Casey was very grateful. His father was a Christian from the days of Farquhar Street Mission House and Chapel. But he backslided because of certain family problems. But one thing he did, and one thing for which Casey was most grateful, every Sunday he would take peace to Casey on his pillion, and he would cycle from his house at 215A Agal Road to Burma Road Gospel Hall, and there Casey would attend Sunday school. That's how Casey came to contact. That would be in 1949. 1950 to 1953, he would be in Penang Free School. Alright? Now, then it was in 1950 that he came to know the Lord. On 17 September, Mr. A.E. Phillips was driven out from Communist China. He went to Singapore. And September 1950, for the first time, he came to Penang and he spoke in the Gospel Hall, Burma Road. And his message brought Casey to the Lord at the Gospel meeting, Sunday evening Gospel meeting. And not only Casey, but also Hugh Tan. And both came to know the Lord at that time, 17th of September. In a month's time, he was baptized. People were wondering, how could a young man, 13 years old, be taken to be baptized 1 month only after salvation, when perhaps other people, like many of you have experienced, should wait for some months, wait for 1 year, 2 years, to make sure you really are saved before you get baptized. But here was one man, one boy, who practiced the early days of Christian life. They believed and they were baptized. But within that 1 month, the missionaries were active. Mr. S.S. Adams, Dr. John Nichols, dealt with Casey.
They had Bible classes with him to tell him the elements, the basic elements of Christianity and salvation. And through this, he was accepted and he was baptized on 22nd October 1950. 1 month, about a month, after his salvation. From that time onwards, he started his Christian life. He was in Penang Free School and he joined the PFS prayer group. The PFS prayer group was started about 1948 or 49. And the leaders were Dr. Chan. Chan Kok Yew, where are you? Dr. Chan Kok Yew and his cousin, Dr. Lawrence Tan. They were there and I was there. They were the great only Queen's Scholars with A's in Penang Free School. They were the ones who led the Penang Free School prayer group, and I was there. And I started. Mr. Tan Wah Kim was not a teacher there, but his house was there. His quarters was there, and he opened his house for prayer. And every day, break time, within that half hour or so, we would eat our food quickly, and we would go to his house to have prayer, to read one portion of daily light, and then to have prayer every day. And of course, the teachers would be after us if we arrived late at the classes. But we were firm in committing ourselves to the Lord. That's how I started my witness, associating myself with the Christian group. Then I started studying the Bible. Mr. Tan Wah Kim introduced the Bible, the Scripture Union Bible Study Notes. You know now today as Daily Bread and Daily Notes. But I did not take those. Those were too elementary. I did not like them. I went for Bible Study Notes, that's the highest of the series, in order to study the Bible in detail, word for word. And that's how I started. And that's how I came to grasp with the deeper things of the Word of God. That was KC, huh? Right. So, there he was, trying to master the Word of God from word study from the very beginning. Then, Mr. A.E. Phillips introduced for the first time Emmaus Bible Courses. And Penang Memorial Gospel Hall became a depot for Emmaus. Now, the Emmaus Bible Courses that KC studied were not those that you come across today. Objective tests. Yes, no, yes, no. Truth, A, B, C. But it was a course with subjective. And he had got to come out with essays in order to answer the questions. And that's how he developed his Bible knowledge. Then he started using, he had no money, so he started to build up a Christian library of books. And he started with, this is Barefoot Leadership, I talked about just now. And he started buying books like this, Bible commentaries. He did not want to purchase books that were devotional. He bought Bible commentaries. And because he had no money, he had to start with this Moody Coppertish Library. At that time, it was only 60 cents per book. 60 cents. And today, he still has a library of these books. Commentaries on Bible books. So from the very beginning, the books that he purchased were those books on Bible books. Commentaries on Bible books, not devotional. And that's how he developed his Bible knowledge. And so he took up his Emmaus Bible course. Alright. Now, he was not a clever boy, as I said. Alright. Secondary school, suddenly he went backward. So he was in 6C, 7C, and 8D, donkey. He was in 8D, standard Form 4 today, that he started taking the Emmaus Bible courses, and he was doing the course on Romans. And in Romans, he came to Romans chapter 12. And among the questions, he was asked to write in 500 words a summary of the book of Romans, essay form. No ABC, no objective questions. So he still could remember that on that night in Algal Road, with his typewriter, not computer, typewriter, typing out the answers to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And as he did so, he gave his life to the Lord. Lord, take me. Take me and as I present myself a living sacrifice to you. And that night, about midnight, he gave himself to the Lord and for Lord's service. And then, later on, there was standard 8, he told his father, who objected to his going to church and taking part in activities, because he was a donkey, in a donkey class. From C he went to donkey class. But after this consecration, he went to see his father. Father, please, let me take part in the church activities. Let me go to the church meeting. I'm going to show you that I will improve in my academic studies. And so Casey was true to his word. The father allowed him to go to meetings, and at the end, after standard 8, in the examination, his results were so good, he was promoted to being an S from a donkey. He went to SCA. SCA is school, Cambridge. But SCA was no good for him, because to go to A class, he must have double credit science and double credit maths. But he didn't take those two subjects in standard 8. And so he asked from A to come down to B, so that he could take his health science as a subject for the examination. And so he took his health science, and as a result, he got a distinction for that. And as a result, he got a grade 1 for the Cambridge school examination. That was a wise choice. And you see what happened? Because of his consecration and because of his desire to serve the Lord and to forsake all those times when young people would just gather together, talk, wasting their time. Those times he did not go with them. But when it was required for service, he was with them. And so he developed in his academic studies. He showed his father that he meant business, and the father did not stop him after that to serve the Lord. And therefore he started his service for the Lord. And where did he start his service for the Lord? In a Chinese Sunday school. He became a Sunday school teacher in the Chinese Sunday school, teaching Chinese in Chinese in the Sunday school. It was very difficult. Every lesson he must take one whole week to prepare. One hand the English Bible, another hand the Romanized Bible. Romanized Bible is how it is the Bible written in Chinese but in Roman alphabet. And so it was difficult trying to especially pronounce the Bible terms in Chinese, in Hokkien, and Moy. But he did it. So every month, every week, he would prepare. Sunday, finish his Sunday school lesson, Monday, start prepare. And of course, he was a laughing stock with the children who would laugh at his poor pronunciation. But never mind. He was a Sunday school teacher. At the end of the Sunday, at the end of school, Cambridge, or Form 5, he knew that he must leave school. In fact, in standard 8, he started praying, Lord, show me where I should go and what I should be. And as he read his scriptures, the word teach came on again and again. So, Lord, if you want me to be a teacher, then you must open the door. Let me go in. And so, it is not surprising that at the end of the school career, in the school Cambridge class, in SCA, SCB, the last week, the monitor stood up and announced, all of you who want to apply to be teachers, please send in your name, so that I can send to the principal, J.E. Todd, at that time, and he will forward it to the education department. And there it was. I had applied for a teaching profession, even without writing a letter, just sending my name. And I was called for an interview. And who was there? At the interview board, there was Mrs. Chia In-kyong, from Bumrungrad Gospel Hall. She was at the interview board. Mr. Khoo Kay Ben, he was from the Methodist school. And two or three others, they asked me, how can we accept you? Look, you are below 17 years old, minimum age 17. You are not yet 17 and you want to become a teacher. I said, sir, please. By the time you appoint me in May, I shall be 17 years old already. Okay, you are accepted. And so I became a teacher. And while waiting for my results for my senior Cambridge, I was already interested in mission work. I made a tour of the mission, of the assemblies in Malaysia. From that time, even, I was already interested in mission. I visited the Taiping Gospel Hall, the Kuala Kangsar Gospel Hall, I visited Batu Gajah Gospel Hall, I visited Ealing Gospel Hall, I went down right up to Malacca. And there I met Dr. Lim Siang Chai. And there I was together with our brother Hugh Tan. And for the information of our sister Mrs. Ong, we were in a car, Cheng Gate's car, Ui Cheng Gate, and you know the brother Benny Ui. Well, we were there, and together we visited the various assemblies. Interested in mission work even from the beginning. Holiday time, instead of going for holiday and playing around, we were doing mission work, trying to find out more from the assemblies. So, I became a teacher in a primary school, professional days. 1954 to 1956, I was appointed as a teacher trainee and I joined a normal class for 3 years. My school, first school was at Hutchings School, and then after 1 year there, I was transferred to Bandar Pas Malay School. Now, I must point out that at our time, to go to Bandar Pas would not be going to Timbuktu. Bandar Pas was a rural area. There was only one road there, and on both sides, paddy fields. Oh, terrible. I was afraid to go there. And I had to teach English. And the school, the Malay school, was open on Sunday. And I made the excuse. You see, when I gave myself to the Lord in Standard A, I also told the Lord, Lord, I will not study, I will not work on a Sunday. Sunday is a day I will devote fully to you. And all this time, I had never studied on a Sunday, including my professional examinations. And so, here I had to work on a Sunday. I went to see the education department. Please, sir, I have to go to church on Sunday. I would not like to be in this school. And the organizer of schools was Mr. Khoo Kay Ben. He said, okay, next week he transferred me to Wellesley Primary School. 1 week in Bandar Pas Malay School. But that actually was only an excuse. I was afraid to go so far. Never mind, the Lord was teaching me a lesson. The Lord was teaching me a lesson. So I was posted to Wellesley Primary School. And when I was there, now I was a teacher trainee. I used my knowledge as a teacher trainee in education, and I was involved in Taylor Road Sunday School. The attendance for one whole year as a being a teacher there was no good. It was about 20 or so. And what did I do? I said, no, you must do something about it. And having the educational knowledge to deal with children, at Chisholm Road, I organized a children's campaign, one person. Organized a children's campaign with three or four young people to help me. One whole week, I spoke in the evening. I spoke in the evening, gathered the children, and soon Taylor the Road Sunday School every night, because in the afternoon and evening we had a campaign. Night we had a lantern slide, old fashioned. And every night we have about 70 to 80 people, the children, coming to view. And as a result of that, Taylor Road Sunday School was established with 80 children every Sunday from that time onwards. And Taylor Road Sunday School developed into, of course, now that's Taylor Road Sunday School. my class. There were other classes. And then the Tedor Sunday School in 1970 became, of course, Island Base Gospel Center. One person, daring enough to use his knowledge that he learned from his profession for the Lord's service, because he surrendered himself to the Lord. And then Sunday School was formed and later on developed into an assembly. 1957 to 1966, he was a teacher in the primary school. 57 to 59, remember, Bakan Jemal, Bakan Ajam Malay School. He was transferred after his graduation to Bakan Jemal and Bakan Ajam, two Malay schools, to teach English. Teaching on Sunday. What was he going to do? I could not see anything now, because after having passed my normal class training, now I was a full-fledged teacher and I was sent to a Malay school. But the Lord has a purpose. Why? Because at that time I was attending and also in charge of a Bible class in Service Road, 51 Service Road. Before that, we had met together more informally. And then later on, Mr. Fred Phillips opened his house for us to meet. And that Bible class was a good training ground for all of us. And we developed our knowledge of the scriptures and our interest in missions. We collected funds to give to mission work. Today, at that time, it was known as BEM, Borneo Evangelical Mission. Today, it's known as SIB in Sabah and Sarawak. We were involved in missions from that time onwards. And I was in from every Sunday, from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, we had the Lord's Supper. After that, 10:30 Bible class in 51 Service Road. 12:30, we finished. And then 2 o'clock, we would go to Butterworth Gospel Hall, go to Butterworth to help in the Sunday school at 4 Club Road first. And then later on, that Sunday school in Club Road developed into a Butterworth Gospel Hall. This was a Sunday school class in 4 Club Road. And then this developed into Butterworth Gospel Hall, 1959. Then, I have no time, but I need to complete now. Apart from the Sunday school class, every Friday, we would have a Bible class, studying the Bible in detail. In fact, I could still remember, we were studying the book of Philippians, and we took one whole year to study the book of Philippians, verse by verse, word by word. Who were the people there? Oh, I'm very proud of this Bible class. Very proud of this Bible class. Some of you may know the people there. Alright, here they are. You will see, sitting down, our sister Po Ching. You will see beside her, our sister Lai Hong Ming, and of course Ang Gek Si. The others you will not know, and behind Po Ching you will see Kai Kun. And after that, you will see Siu Chu and Yo. And I'm very happy, I don't know whether she could recognize herself, but the third from the right, the fourth from the right, the lady on the second row is our sister Anya. Anya, you're there. And she is here. I have lost touch with her for many, many years, and I do not know what happened to her. But I'm glad that she is here when I show the photo. I'm very proud of this Bible class, because 80 to 90% of all those people there are still served in the Lord, walking very faithfully in the Lord, and some of them are leaders in various assemblies. Why? Because of a very good foundation in Scripture. They were not just interested in Bible study, in devotional things, but they went deeply into the Word of God, and that's how they developed. Fantastic. You see, the Lord will want you to learn this lesson. I ran away from Barnabas English School. 1960, the Lord sent me back. He sent me back to Barnabas English School. And there I was. Parallel with that, with my posting in Barnabas, I became a deacon and an elder at Barber Gospel Hall. Cannot remember the year, not important to me. Anyway, Casey became an elder also in Butterworth Gospel Hall. And so we find that what Casey became in the teaching profession, he used whatever knowledge he had to use it for the Lord in his ministry for him. Okay, I think we have to stop here because of time. Alright. Let me conclude with this. You will see now there is no need to balance your profession, what you are, where you serve and what you work, with your consecration to the Lord. There's no need. You must know, number one, the will of God, what He wants you to be, where He wants you to serve. And having known that, continue to serve in that area, and as you gain knowledge, He will train you bit by bit, bit by bit. When he was in the primary school, JC was serving in the Sunday school. But that was parallel. Now, later on, KC would go to the secondary school and he would be dealing with young people. And so we see how the Lord worked. So there is no need to create, to find a balance. It is just the readiness to allow the Lord to use you where you are to serve the Lord full time. Whether you be a teacher, a gardener, a doctor, a nurse, a clerk, whatever, whoever you may be, serve the Lord. Consecrate your life to the Lord. Young people, know the will of God. If you are going to leave school soon, please get to know what the Lord wants you to do. And do it. And stick to it. That is important. May the Lord help all of you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy word and Thy will are important in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses, true witnesses unto Thee. Whether it be that Thou hast placed us in Jerusalem or Judea or in Samaria. Wherever we may go, Lord, help us to use whatever knowledge we gain from the secular world, even for Thy service. Sanctify, Lord, we do pray. And we do ask Thee that Thou help us to be firm and to be convicted where Thou hast placed us, and not to compromise with the things and the people around us, that we may stand firm and be firm witnesses for Thee, that they may see our good works and glorify Thee in heaven. We ask Thee all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.